Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Theme song, Clouds of Abundance. You have tuned into the Reconnected Show with your host, Nazeem Rashid. Nazeem is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazeem has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyles to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which gives life. I am Dorothy Rashid, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazeem Rashid.
Well, all right. My wonderful Dorothy. Very good. Thank you. It is another day. Yes, it is in paradise. Paradise, paradise, paradise. Welcome all into our Paradise One studio, where every day is a holiday and the party never stops. Yay!
Yay!
All right, welcome again to the Reconnected Show, a show where we get reconnected. All right, I always start with the opening prayer, an opening prayer to bless our program here. Like I mentioned before in this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I'm using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. With the name of God, we thank you for the possibilities and probabilities of a productive, prosperous day. Thank you for creating this moment in time as we reflect your attributes to the best of our ability. Thank you for choosing this time for us as we share your blessings with others. Thank you for a clear and focused mind ready to receive more energy and grace from you. Amen. All right. Now we can breathe. Now for show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
Let us hear from you as we learn the needs of our child self. The chapters in the book that address these needs are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addictions, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazeem using his email address in our book club at cox.net. That's N as in Nazeem, R as in Rashid, book club at cox.net. He sends out blogs and book excerpts every month to fans who connect with him. Information such as life coaching, signing dates, webinars, and workshops are sent from there as well. The book Reconnected will be released and available this year. Nazim?
Well, okay, yes, the Reconnected Show, the key to personal power, the key to personal power. This is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. The discussions will be based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. Reconnected is for those adults who want to create real internal change in their lives by addressing significant emotional events in their past which are affecting them presently. It is also for parents who want vital information in raising their genius young souls, mentors who can appreciate additional tools for their mentees, for their students, mentees and teachers who would cherish more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. Couples, yes, couples wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered, especially the ones on communication and listening skills. Mm-hmm. And also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to their higher self, to spirit, to source energy, to God. All right, as you know, you regulars know, we always do a happy news segment. It's a very, very, very important for us to honor and promote that which is going on in a great and wonderful fashion. And we have it all the time, here and abroad. So we always have a certain segment I call my APN Network, All Positive News Network. And Dorothy will handle that at her international and national news desk. Take it away.
The title of this article today is Photographer Empowers Kids with Cameras. It's dated July 14, 2011. The writer is Boram Lee of MSNBC. Cause Celeb highlights a celebrity's work on behalf of a specific cause. This week, we speak to Ross Kaufman, 2005 Academy Award-winning filmmaker of Born into Brothels, about his work with kids with cameras. The organization teaches photography to marginalized children in various communities throughout the world. Kids with Cameras raises money for the children's education and general well-being through print sales of the photographs taken by the kids. Since this interview, Kids with Cameras successfully completed a $1.2 million endowment campaign. The funds enabled the organization to buy a five-acre piece of land to build the Hope House, a safe haven for girls from Calcutta's red light district.
Mm-hmm.
And the interview is going to be interview style for the rest of the article, as an interview by Boram Lee, and he's asking Ross Kaufman the question. So the question is, can you tell me about Kids with Cameras and what it does? Ross Kaufman replies, what we did during the film Born into Brothels is, we basically took the photos in the film that all the children took, and we sold them on the kids' behalf, and 100% of the profits went to the kids and their education. So Kids with Cameras acted as a conduit for those funds for the children. We also started some other projects for children in other areas in the world, like Egypt, Cairo in particular, Jerusalem, and Haiti. But primarily, the main function of Kids with Cameras is that we are filming, along with my executive producer, Geraldine White Dreyfus, a home for children in Calcutta. Another question from Boram Lee is, I know that Born into Brothels, how the organization came about. For people who haven't watched the film, could you tell me more about it? Ross replies, it's interesting with this project. Everything kind of grew organically ahead of everything else. And it all started with a photographer named Vanna Brisky, who was taking photos in the red light districts of Calcutta. She started teaching photography to the children of prostitutes. She really loved their photos, and then we decided to do a film about these particular children. The film is really about the incredible creativity of children, that indomitable spirit of childhood that can't be crushed by just doing anything. The kids really take incredible photos and end up having a gallery show. And in the end, some of them finally get into schools. So that's really what the film is about. And the organization, Kids with Cameras, is really born out of that film. Question. Also on the Kids with Cameras website, it talks about the Hope House. Could you tell me about it and what its mission is? Ross replies, the Hope House is the home that we, Kids with Cameras executive producer Darren White-Dreyfus and I, are raising money to build in Calcutta. It's really going to be a safe place for children in the red light district to live and to play, and they're going to go to school. Their school and their education will be funded through the organizations that we're partnering with in Calcutta. So it's really a place where 252 children will be able to live and play and work and be safe. And we're raising money to build a home right now. Nazim?
Okay. Wow, that's very, very good. Calcutta, India, where there's, you know, unfortunately, there's still slavery going on in the world. And some people with minds that have gone astray are taking our little ones and putting them into the slave traffic. And so there's someone actually making a difference in that part of the world. And it's wonderful. So, hey, I'll praise due to Allah. That's very, very good. Well, all right, all right. So today's theme, it's very important. Spirituality. And even looking at that article, we need to have a good, solid connection to God there. And when we do, then there will be no room in our minds for entertaining even thoughts of doing what some people are doing with our children. Okay? So, like I always do, I always recap what we talked about last week. And it's very easy because we just read from the book. So last week we read from my book, we connected how to be a mentor to your child self, specifically the chapter on spirituality. You can go to my show page, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. And hear the whole show and download anything you like there. It's all free. You could download anything, put it into your iPod, MP3, or your hard drive, and just burn your own CDs. Free information. Good stuff. Okay, today we will continue our discussion with Imam Benjamin Bilal that we started a couple of weeks ago. A lot of you remember. Real life is pertaining to the life of the soul, or what he has dubbed the breathing conscience. This is his quote here, breathing conscience. It gives birth to proper emotional, mental, and psychic life, all of which are invisible and represent aspects of the spiritual life. The following is a quote from him, and I just mentioned that also. He also says, in reality, they are all one. Spirit only means influence. And if you can get control of the invisible things that influence your invisible life on a daily basis, you can maintain control over all the various manifestations of that life, which will allow you access to peace, freedom, and wellness. Okay, so I know that Imam Bilal will break this down for us, bring clarity, and actually answer some questions we have. So, Brother Imam, are you on the air?
Yes, I certainly am.
Alhamdulillah. Very, very, very good. Yes. So, thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you and your audience. Thank you for the opportunity to address you once again.
Good. And so even though many have heard you before, and I always like to make sure that we're on the same page with everyone, because we always have new listeners. Matter of fact, we have listeners on the lines right now just listening passively from various parts of the country. And just in case, you know, there are some people who have not heard of Imam Benjamin Bilal, even though I can't imagine that, if you could just tell everybody, you know, what you're doing right now and so forth, and how you're serving the community.
Well, again, thank you for the opportunity. And once again, to your listening audience, assalamu alaikum. May the peace be upon you. I am known as Imam Benjamin Bilal and ultimately as Instructor Benjamin Bilal. I'm an educator from the New York area, Hollis, New York, specifically. And I am the CEO of an organization called Signs of Life Motivational and Instructional Institute, which is designed to bring in motivational speakers who can speak to the needs and the concerns of the inner city community life in a way that serves as a positive reinforcement of those things that all of us should be involved in on various levels, economically speaking, culturally speaking, academically speaking, and governmentally speaking. Those are the four primary areas that we are focused on as an organization. So that is really the main focus that I have chosen to take in this, what I call this era, this new era that we've entered. Especially those of us who have been under the voice of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad, may God's mercy be upon him and may he be found in the highest heaven. We have been blessed with a language, a conceptual framework of language that I believe to be very, very unique for this day and time. And as I read through the pages of history regarding other scholars of past eras, I find that what he has been blessed with, meaning Imam Muhammad, what he has been blessed with is singular and unique in its scope and in its depth and in its ability to provide not only questions, the important questions, but the important answers for what needs to be done in this day and time relative to the African-American, yes, but stretching way outside the walls of African-American life and history into the world of human beings and the necessary components that comprise what a true human being actually is. So my job is to just continue what his job was, and I think all students of his see themselves in the same role. So it doesn't make me any bigger or any better. It only means that whatever findings I come up with, I am putting apparatuses in place to help share those finding. So essentially, I am an imam, yes, but I am more so a teacher or an instructor and a facilitator of information.
Now, Imam Bilal, right there, just so everybody is clear, you mentioned Imam W. Muhammad. Can you explain to briefly who he is and who he represents?
Yes, indeed. Imam Waris Deen Muhammad, sometimes known as Waris Deen Muhammad, ask all of you who are not familiar with him to Google him. Google his name, last name spelled M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, or you can go to a site called newafricaradio.com, newafricaradio.com, to listen to some of his lectures. He is the son of the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May God forgive him his sins and grant him paradise. Also, most of you may be familiar with Elijah Muhammad. He was most well known for his preachings against the white race and his admonishment of America, the American system, the American governmental system, specifically because of its oppressive tendency in regards to African American people, post slavery life for African Americans. And Elijah Muhammad gradually phased out much of his harsh language, we would call it. Towards the late 60s and early 70s, he passed from this life in 1975 and left all of the props in place for one of his sons, that would be Waris Deen Muhammad, to take his place. Waris Deen Muhammad is the one responsible for bringing that community of hundreds of thousands of people from Nation of Islam theology, which was not purely Islamic theology. It was Islamic terminology, but the major flavor was actually mythology that was given to Elijah Muhammad by his teacher, whose name was W.D. Farad, spelled F-A-R-D, but pronounced Farad. Wallace Muhammad was the product of that community, Nation of Islam, born in the Nation of Islam, and had the specific job of bringing that community that had been under heavy, heavy mythological concepts and teachings into the pure light of the Quran, which was the book revealed to Prophet Muhammad over 1,400 years ago, and the logic necessary to take the language of the Quran and apply it in this present day and time and circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. So essentially, Imam Wallace B. Muhammad was the one who brought us into the purity of Islam, conceptually speaking.
Okay, very good. Very good. I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people just don't know, even though the Imam has responsible for millions of people following the true faith and deen of Islam. But when the majority of people focus on the major media, the CNN, Fox News, and everything else, and they only hear the ones of controversy. And so when you hear a modern voice such as Imam Muhammad, you know, a lot of people just don't know. And so I'm glad you made that clear for us. So very good. All right. Now, with that in mind, we can go back. We can look at two things. Last time you talked about the chakras, and I'm also looking at your emphasis on real life here. So if we can actually start with the real life statement, that'd be wonderful. When you said real life is pertaining to life of the soul, and you talked about calling it the breathing conscious, can you just start with that, please?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much for this opportunity once again. In the Quran, the soul is called, in the Quranic Arabic language, nafs. And if I were to transliterate it into English letters, it would be N-A-F-S, nafs.
Nafs.
Nafs. And I also have what you might call a technique for understanding the essence of Quranic terminology. And it is called consonantal connection. And basically, it involves the understanding of words based on the meanings of individual letters that comprise that word. So, for instance, in the word neft, you have the consonants N,
N,
S.
Yes.
Right? N, Nancy, S, Frank, S, Sam.
Yes.
Those are the essential consonants, the three consonants that comprise the word neft, which again is translated loosely as soul, S-O-U-L. Now, that letter N in the Arabic language is what is called, and in every language actually, is what is called a nasal, meaning that when you say the letter N and hold the sound, N. Yeah, you can feel it in your nose, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And in fact, the word nose begins with N also.
N.
So N is a nasal, and it represents whatever that nasal or that nose passage represents, both concretely and figuratively or abstractly. The F in the Arabic language, which is the letter Fa, means mouth, M-O-U-T-H.
Mouth.
Right. So already we have, with this combination of consonants, just dealing with these two, N and F, we have nasal or nose area, and also fa, we have a mouth. The word for mouth in Arabic is afa or afun. So these two things together conceptually represent that which is necessary for human beings and other other animal forms to breathe. Right? We breathe essentially through our nose and our mouth. Therefore, every word that you come across in an Arabic dictionary that begins with N-F, no matter what the third radical is, it can be N-S-T-H, it can be N-S-Q, whatever it is, if it consists of N and F, it's going to have a connection to the idea of breathing. Breathing, you understand?
Yes, sir.
What does Allah says in the Quran? He says, "Wamin shari nafasati fil uqad." There's a word nafasat, in the Quran. And so it consists of Nun, Sa, and Sa, or N-S-P-H. But it means, they translate it as breathing on the knot, right? Because wherever, again, you see that N and that F is going to represent breathing. Now, that last letter, S, is called Sin in the Arabic language. S-E-E-N, yes. Sin. And Sin literally means the teeth. The teeth. So if I were to go strictly based on the concrete meaning of each of these three letters, it would represent breathing through the teeth.
Oh.
Now, people who meditate and people who practice conscious breathing, right? You have people from several religions and several spiritual, not all religions, but spiritual organizations or spiritual modes of training. They practice breathing in and out, and sometimes they'll breathe in through the nose and sometimes out the mouth, right? Different forms of breathing, meditative breathing. People who practice transcendental meditation, these are techniques that they all are used to. So if we are talking about breathing in through the nostrils and breathing out through the teeth, we're producing that sound. Most, if not all, martial artists know that sound because they use that for periods when they're in pain. For instance, if they get kicked in the groin accidentally, they can use that breathing technique to immediately eliminate the pain. Now, all of this is related to the soul, mind you, and the soul's ability to relieve the pain in your individual life if you begin to understand how the soul functions as a breathing conscience. So on the physical level, again, Sin means teeth. But on the abstract level, teeth represent your intellect, because just as your physical teeth take in physical food and masticate it or chew it up into finer particles, your mind does exactly the same thing on the mental level with knowledge or information. So sometimes we'll even say to a person who's really, really teaching us something, we'll say, break it down, brother, break it down, right? We're talking like that because his mental capabilities are in accord with what the teeth do on the physical level. Sometimes we'll say, give me a minute to chew on that. Come to a decision yet, right? So we have these phrases in our lexicon, but we're not aware of the connection that they have back to what is called fitra terminology, meaning the way things were created on the concrete level by God, and the signs and the messages, the information that is in all of these physical things in creation that are right around us, but most people pay them no attention whatsoever as food for the intellect and food for the soul. All right, so on that level, this NSS becomes the breathing intellect.
Breathing intellect.
That means your intellect, as it does what? Goes out in search of information, which is what your five senses are designed to do, and bring back that information so that the other invisible components that comprise your human life can be fed. And the most important of those components is the human soul. So the soul is effectively connected to the intellect. It is not the intellect. It's very difficult to say what the soul is. But we know that the intellect is primarily responsible for educating the soul.
Yes,
as Allah says in the Quran, he mentions the nafs as needing to be enlightened or needing education, and also taqwa, regardfulness. It needs to be taught regardfulness. Mm-hmm. And it grows in both enlightenment and in regardfulness, coming out of the dark, coming out of ignorance, coming out of apathy, coming out of oppression. The soul can be oppressed. And for most people in this day and time, I would say that their souls are indeed oppressed. And we're going to discuss just a few things today that will help lighten the burden, inshallah, God willing, when it comes to the burden that most people are carrying on their soul. So essentially, again, the nafs represents the breathing conscience. That means that ideas have to be going out of you and coming into you. What is that? That's a moral process in the intellect. If you are not a moral thinker, your soul is not alive.
Mm.
Your soul is stagnant. In the Quran, there's a verse where God says to the angels who were reluctant at first to bow down to this new man that was being named Adam and mm-hmm. being called a Khalifa. That's out of the Quranic terminology. A Khalifa, meaning yeah. a caretaker for the earth.
Mm-hmm.
This was Adam, as we know him in most organized religion, Adam. And God said to the angels, once I have breathed into him of my spirit, called Ruh in the Arabic language.
Ruh.
Ruh. And you can hear the breath at the end of that short word. Ruh.
Ruh.
Yes, sir. If I were to transliterate that, it would be R-U-H. Ruh. Heavy H. Ruh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God said, mm-hmm. once he has breathed into Adam of his own Ruh, God's Ruh, then the angels should submit. And they did, once he breathed into him of that Ruh. So it is essential, if this represents an essential part of the human makeup, then we, not only as Muslims, but we as true humans all over the earth should want to know what this important component that is responsible for the invisible forces in creation, giving you obedience, or paying you obedience,
mm-hmm.
working on your behalf, so to speak. Shouldn't all of us want to know what this essential element is so that we can have it activated and working for us in this human life?
Right.
So we're talking on the subject of spirituality.
Yes.
Spirituality for the human being begins with the Ruh.
The Ruh.
Now let us see what this Ruh is, consonantally speaking. The R, or the letter Ra in Arabic, means light. L-I-G-H-T, yes, sir, light, as in information, mm-hmm. knowledge. And it also represents movement. It represents both light and movement. And in this world of scientific language, we talk about the speed of light, right?
In mm-hmm,
science,
mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
speed of light. So this world understands also that light represents movement. They also understood that back in ancient Egypt, where they named their sun god Ra, the same
yes.
word as we have in the Arabic letter, right? Ra,
mm-hmm,
Amun
mm-hmm.
Ra. And Ra was their sun god, S-U-N, god.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, the sun is the major source of light for this galaxy, correct?
Right, yes.
All right, so we see the interchangeability of concepts between what the Quran is saying and what was said even in ancient Egypt thousands of years ago. In fact, the Quran is actually bringing clarity and purity to these ancient spiritual languages.
Mm.
It is taking that language, it is unveiling or unwrapping that language from out under mythological trappings and
mm-hmm.
bringing it into the fullness of practicality so that human beings can use the information and not have the information be just the privy of the enlightened scholars who understand the symbolism but hold back the true messages and meanings from the common people like you and I.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So the Quran is designed to bring the common people into the same level of information as those who have been hoarding the knowledge for thousands and thousands of years.
Wow.
Yes, sir. So, Ra, the sun not only provides light when it begins to surface above the horizon in the morning, but it is also seen as an object of quick movement, especially as it begins to rise. You can be driving down the highway and witnessing a sunrise. You turn your head for 3 minutes, the sun is in a totally different place than it was when you viewed it 3 minutes ago.
Yes.
So Ra came to mean light and movement. We're still talking about the word Ruh, or spirit, they translated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go to the second consonant, it is the heavy H called Ha.
Ha.
There are two H's in the Arabic language. There's a light Ha, which represents your normal or light breathing, just the normal breathing like you're doing right now.
Ha.
And then there is the breathing that you participate in when, when the street thug has been running after you for three blocks trying to steal your wallet, and you wind up
mm-hmm.
ducking into a door or outpacing him, outrunning him, and you finally get behind a wall, and that breath that you come into then,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the heavy ha.
Oh.
Yeah, it represents the exertion in the breath. It is not normal breathing. It is breathing that is designed to bring the human system back to normalcy.
Okay.
So in that sense, it actually represents a protection, like a sense of protection around your major organs, and it is designed so that the pace of that heavy breathing will gradually bring all of the systems in your physical body back to their normal operating speed. So because of that, the heavy H came to mean the exerted breath. That's why we have it in the word for life. Hayya or ahya. We say hayya, aleph, salat, right?
Hayya.
Come lively. Yeah, come with exerted effort to the prayer. Don't just come skipping. You know, you're not, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips trying to make it to salat.
Yes.
You are hurrying up to come to salat. Not just physically, but also in your spirit, in your anticipation that you're going to be observing a ritual that ties you indirectly to communication with the Lord of all systems of knowledge. You see it? All right, so what is this ruh then as a sentence, not just as a word? It represents the light and the movement of the breath that is contained within the breath. Your breathing is conditioning your blood.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
Your blood contains light codes, C-O-D-E-S. And your rate of speed in relation to your breathing is actually conditioning the light codes within the blood system to signal certain kinds of information that are going to be responsible for bringing your intellect and your emotional self into higher consciousness. Now, I'm saying something that sounds sophisticated and sounds complicated even, but if once you go back into the archives of Nazim Rashid's Reconnected, just so the listen back to this language. Listen back to it, rewind it, and you can do that. You can fast forward it, rewind it,
take
notes. If you're not taking notes now, you'll see that what I'm presenting to you is not complicated at all. What's making it sound complicated is the fact that we were not taught any of this in public school, not even in private school, and not even in most of your Islamic schools do they have this kind of information. And I'm not saying that as a boast. I'm saying that to say to the world of even Muslim scholarship that Allah says in the Quran that He blesses whomsoever He pleases with what He
pleases. That's right.
And this is really an opportunity for the scholarship in Islam, al-Islam, and in among the Christian followers of the Prophet Christ, peace be upon him, and among the Jews. And I share this information freely with all of the above. I share it with the atheists. I share it with all people who show in their character true human goodness. True human goodness. All of us are on a road, and we don't know where that road is going to lead. You know, the woman who advocated taking God out of the public schools, her next generation, her very son, became an adamant follower of Christianity, although she was a stone-cold atheist. So we don't know where God is going to lead us in terms of our individual role and what will precede us. So all we can do is trust human goodness, trust human intelligence, and share the best of what God has blessed you with human beings, as long as they show themselves to be people on the road of human goodness and human excellence.
I love it. Now, Imam Bly, and I know we can all, we're going to hear what you said earlier, but if you can just recap a tiny bit about the light code, just that point right there, if you can.
Yes, sir. The physical sun in the sky is providing us with certain forms of energy. We know that the sun is responsible for magnetizing the earth and pulling the earth in a particular direction at a particular rate of speed. This is things, these are things that we learn in the average basic science class.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sunlight is what activates the physical seed in the ground to begin opening up and bringing forth their potential as an apple tree, as an orange tree, or as a rose petal, or whatever that life form is within the confines of that seed. The sun's light is providing certain vitamins for that seed, and whatever the sun is providing for that plant life is going to manifest in the product of that plant life, be it an apple, an orange, a banana, or whatever it is. When the human being ingests that food, we're talking physically now, when the human being takes that food into himself, he's also taking in whatever information the sun deposited within the DNA of that food product. That food product has DNA just like we have DNA.
Yes, sir.
And the DNA is captured within seed, primarily the seed of that plant. Therefore, when we eat the fruit from that plant, that fruit containing that seed is actually feeding our DNA as human beings.
Mm.
The information contained in the plant's DNA and in the animal's DNA is actually feeding new information into our human DNA so that the human life can remain consistent with the other forms of life that it is ingesting.
Okay.
Now, the removal of that seed, as we know today, we have seedless grapes, seedless watermelon, seedless this and that and the other. The removal of the seed from these other forms of life represents also the removal of the essential information that we need for our own DNA and for our own bloodstream. They are feeding information is the point. The sun is providing light that actually has within it information that God clocked into that creation.
Okay.
That information is fed into the human system, and it is captured within our bloodstream. So your consciousness is directly related to your blood and the state of your blood. This is why many religions have this emphasis on the blood, particularly in Christianity.
Oh yeah.
You know, they have whole rituals. But they don't have the understanding of what the blood represents. They say that Jesus represents the blood, or the blood of Christ is redemption, but they don't understand on what level that's speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the physical blood. Drinking the physical blood will make you a cannibal.
Right.
And keeping the idea in your mind that the wafer is Jesus' physical flesh and that the wine is his physical blood, take this in remembrance of him, will condition your spirit on the level of cannibalism.
Cannibalism,
just,
exactly.
Yes, sir.
That's up you all the time.
Yes, sir. Just for those who may not understand the origin of that word cannibal, it's a combination of Cain and Abel.
Oh.
And when you understand the dynamics between Cain and what he did to his poor brother Abel, you'll understand what cannibalism is all about.
Okay.
He ate up his total life.
Okay.
He ingested and digested his brother's total existence.
Ooh, all right.
It's given in the Bible language in a poetic fashion so that we don't come away with that kind of harsh reality. But when you begin to understand these scriptures in the original languages, such as Aramaic, such as Hebrew, you will see key words that represent codes in their understanding that point us in a better direction in terms of understanding. And it is the same thing for the Arabia, or the Arabic of the Quran. It's a different book, essentially, when you understand it based on its continental connection and the nuances in the Arabic words and phrases.
Alhamdulillah, I love this. I love it, brother, man. There's so many ways I can go here, but tell you what, before I go into, I'm going to do a little bit of the chakras, because I sent everybody on my book list. For all those who are connected to me through my email, the nrbookclub@cox.net. If you get my weekly excerpts of the book and program updates, you also receive the chakra chart this past week. And so if you have that chart, you can look at it and you will be able to follow along with what Brother Imam was talking about. Plus, we did last time he was on. And on that show, there are two comments on that show, which is Spirituality Part 5. You can actually see affirmations I wrote there connected to each chakra. So, but before I do that, though, there was a question we had from one of our audience. And the question was on self-esteem. The person asked, he says, Brother Imam, I'm feeling stuck. How do I rebuild my self-esteem and my connection to God?
You build your self-esteem and connection to God by understanding what it is God created you to be. Self-esteem is actually a result of ignorance, or I would say unenlightenment, being unenlightened about your own possibilities and potential. That is essentially what the chakras are addressing. And before we even go further with that or with this question, and believe me, most of this question will be answered within the context of what we have to say pertaining to the chakras. I want you to all to understand that these chakras, in introducing this idea as a Muslim, it is not intended to sway the majority of Muslims in the direction of Hinduism or Buddhism or any of the other isms that have been established that use this language. We're only using the language chakra because that is the language that has become most popular amongst the Hindus of India, the Buddhists of India, and also the Chinese of China. They have this in their language. I'm showing you where to find the same or the equivalent terminology, but within the context of the Quran itself.
All right.
So if you happen to hear from me in a couple of months that I have a totally new word for chakra, you'll understand why. This is not in praise. Yeah, this is not in praise of the Eastern spiritual systems over Islam. Islam, al-Islam proper, the Quran itself was intended to purify these pre-existing systems of knowledge. So those things that are not in correlation with what Allah asked of us in the Quran, we dismiss them, as did the early Muslims after the passing of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praise and peace be upon him. They went into the sciences of the ancient Greeks and others, and they wound up dismissing those things that represented ideas that could not be substantiated by Quranic logic. And that is exactly what we're doing. It's just that we're doing it with 21st century scientific information at our side also. So one of these chakras is directly related to self-esteem. It is the second chakra. So if I will just begin very quickly for those of you who are taking notes, I'm going to give you a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 chakra identification by showing you what theologians, and now I'm talking about mostly and not only Muslim theologians, but specifically also the Jewish and the Christian theologians, they attach even certain prophets of Scripture to each chakra. Because that's how they study. But again, this is information that most of them do not share with the average one in their congregation. Yes, sir. So chakra number one is called the root chakra. And it is related to the prophet Adam, peace be upon him. And it is also related to those things concerning the material earth. And they say that this center addresses the needs for physical survival, security, safety. We're talking in the material sense now.
Yes.
Also they attach certain colors that are significant to each chakra. This color for Adam, for the root chakra, what we're calling Adam at this point, is red, brown, and black. Three colors, red, brown, and black. Incidentally, you know, those are the three colors that your blood experiences in your body and as it is being exposed more and more to oxygen outside of your body, right?
Okay.
Your blood will bleed red. When it begins to coagulate, it will dry out. Once in contact with oxygen, it will turn brown, and then eventually you will see that scab will be black. Or even if you leave blood on the ground, it will become red, brown, then black. These are the three colors that religion, meaning Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, associate with Adam. They call him Red Earth. This is in their dictionaries for Adam. Red Earth, Brown Earth, and Black Earth.
Mm.
For Christians, you'll see them referring to Adam as Red Earth. For Muslim scholars, you can find this in the back of some Quran. They say that Adam represents Black Earth. And they get that hint from what Allah says in the Quran concerning the creation of man from black, stinky mud, as they translate it. That's a subject for another day.
That's right.
The second chakra is called the sacral, or the navel chakra. And just as Adam is associated with earth, this second chakra is associated with water, and it exists around your sex organ.
Mm-hmm.
Your sex organ. And it is associated with the prophet Noah, or Noah. And we know Noah is dealing with the flood and the water and et cetera, right? This is the chakra. Yes, sir. This is the chakra that controls the need related to sexuality, specifically, related to creativity, related to intuition, and also self-worth. So understanding how this chakra operates is the key to self-esteem. Self-esteem is tied into your ability to strengthen your water content. And water, generally speaking, throughout all religions and all esoteric bodies of information, represents human emotionality. Right now, it's in this, and I'm not. We're gonna, you know, already we have to schedule a part three, right?
I know that. I'm already looking at that time. I know that.
I'm only on the second chakra. Right? Now, the point is this: human emotionality is where most of us are ruled. This world of mind manipulators, this world of people who sit in positions of power and control, who understand that what the human system is as a spiritual or soul entity, they don't just manipulate our flesh body. They have found a way to manipulate the very soul of the human being. They study the soul meticulously, and they design schemes that are directed towards these aspects of the invisible human nature, the emotionality in particular, and they create a ceiling of operation for us that when it's in place, and it is put in place through the subconscious, through commercialism, through overemphasis on materialism. These invisible influences are actually designed to keep us channeled or keep us locked within the first two chakras in our system. So most of us do not rise above our sex organ. I'm talking about as an emphasis for life, what we think about most of the time, all day long, for the masses of people, and especially in these inner cities, especially for those of us who have been exposed to the wild of Western commercialism.
Yes.
of that is designed to keep us on the level of passion, sexuality, and material things, the acquisition of material things. They've created an invisible ceiling that most of us don't even realize we can't rise above unless we have guidance from books like the Quran or an accurate understanding of Bible scripture also. So what I'm saying with that is this. Here's how you know these people. When you come to them with higher ideas and higher concepts and a higher and more dignified conversation, they'll leave the room. They'll shut your conversation down. They'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. And they will be not, they won't even be interested. Start talking about how the soul is comprised, what God says the soul is made of. In their Bible, I'm talking, you're talking to Christians. I can talk to Muslims. I have Muslims who walk away from this conversation that we're having right now and say, Astaghfirullah, that's not what Allah is talking about.
Oh.
And we have Christians who go, Jesus never taught that. Jesus taught this and more. Muhammad, peace be upon him, these prophets taught what I'm telling you, plus so many more tons of information related to what I'm saying that the prophets were responsible for bringing into the world. Not just teaching, they were responsible for introducing this language and this help from God into the system of human reality.
Okay.
So let me move along. Now, the third level is the solar plexus, solar plexus. And you know solar means sun, right? And
yes.
You can feel that heat right in the middle of your chest, that heat. Because mm-hmm. everything in your body resembles a picture that God created first in the universal scheme. Yeah, so this microcosm that you call your human body is actually just a small picture of the macrocosm that God created when he created the fitra of the universe itself. And all of your major organs in your body are connected even to planets within our solar system. But again, a subject for another day.
Okay.
So, Ibrahim or Abraham is related to the solar plexus, the fire. The Bible even says he was from a land called Ur, and Ur means fire.
Oh.
Both fire and the light that fire produces, related to Nur. In Arabic, we say Nur. All right. The fourth level is the heart chakra. That's Daud or David, and the name Daud and David mean beloved. Beloved. So you see it's related to love, the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth chakra is the throat chakra, which is related to the prophet Musa, peace be upon him, or Moses. And you know, in both the Bible and the Quran, Moses had a problem with articulation, right?
Yes.
That's in the throat area, communication.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So without going into the details, I'm just giving you the broader picture that you can make connections with. The sixth level is the level of prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. It's called the brow chakra, B-R-O-W, or some call it the third eye.
Third eye, yes.
Yeah, all right. Jesus is associated with that. All right. And the seventh chakra is called the crown, and I don't have to tell you who that precious position belongs to among the religious exegetes.
Mm-hmm.
They assign that role to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is not a depiction of the ascension as we know it in al-Islam. That's not what this is. What I gave you is a depiction of where prophets are placed in previous scriptures leading up to the Quran or including the Quran in their explanations of the chakras, which the Bible calls the little book. The spine of this book, it says, were seven seals. Huh? No, it's not talking about the seven seals of a physical book as such. It's talking about the seven levels of chakra development going up your spine, leading to your the skull, which is where the pineal gland is housed.
Mm-hmm.
So the objective in the chakra development is to create the kind of energy that will rise from one chakra to the next, become more and more refined, more and more elegant, and more energetic and powerful, so that it actually activates the potential light that exists in the pineal gland, P-I-N-E-A-L. All of us have this gland in the very center of our brains. It's a physical gland that most of your doctors and biologists and chemists will tell you not to pay any attention to. They'll tell you that it serves no real purpose in evolution now, because for the majority of people, the pineal is actually calcified. It's covered with a calcium deposit, especially among European people, more so than African people and Asian people. Yeah. And this fluoride in the toothpaste, this fluoride in our drinking water system contributes to the calcification of that pineal gland. But your pineal gland is really that which is responsible for your psychic, you coming into more psychic ability. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, got you.
So,
sure.
All of these things have been shut down. So what I'm saying is that the average one of us as human beings have been operating on much less of the potential that Allah gave to us as free gifts. So when science says that we are only using 10% of our brain, what does that tell you? Did God create us to use 10% of something that he gave you 100% of? It's like somebody saying, I'm going to give you $1 million, but you can only use 100,000. Well,
that's
what
right.
is the purpose in giving me the money? And it's sitting in my account, I'm looking at it, but I can never activate it.
That's
and
right.
that is the role, that has been the role of Satan in designing schemes. Remember, Satan's job was to defeat the human being, not God. He can't defeat God.
Right.
He's our enemy, not God's enemy.
Right,
he thinks
right,
he's doing
exactly.
God a favor. So what he's doing is keeping us, in order to prove to God that God was wrong in creating us in the first place, his job is to keep us on the lowest level of vibrational frequency possible. That's what the chakras represent. And just in closing out this idea, I told you last time we spoke that the Arabic word shukra, that we use to say thank you, gratitude, right? Appreciation is related consonantally to the word chakra. Chakra. Chakra means wheel. It means wheel, something that goes around in a circular fashion. That's what gratitude does. You've heard of paying it forward?
Yes.
Okay, so paying it forward is a way of saying let's keep the goodness going in this circle of ours. You follow what I'm saying?
Let's keep
the goodness circulating. So when you do acts of kindness, like Oprah Winfrey did a few years ago on her show, and she paid the toll for a car behind her, and when they found out that she paid the toll, they said, well, take this and pay the toll for the person behind me. That's the circular nature of gratitude, right? So when Iblis said in the Quran that he was going to get all of the people except for the purified ones, and he qualified the purified ones by saying that he would get he would cause most of the people to lack gratitude. That Shakirin, he would get all of them, and he would make sure that they did not possess gratitude. It is also a play on them not possessing the knowledge of their chakra development. Shakirin, their chakra development. He's going to get you on the level of your chakra development by locking you into the material and the sexual aspect of it so that you'll never grow into any real love or concern in the higher chakras, never grow into any real development related to what's going on in the pineal, and never come into the crowning achievement, which is the direct connection of your spiritual life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I see. This is fantastic. And by the way, I'm going to take a little small pause. You know, we're okay. We're over time now, but I have borrowed time I can use. We're still on air.
Well, you got a lot of juice, man. I love that.
I'm telling you, because I want to applaud the we have a lot of listeners that are online right now listening. Let me back a little bit. If you were online, yeah, you did get cut off at the time, but the program is recording still. Now, those who are listening through a phone, you're tuning in just like we are. We're all going through the phone line, so you're even more blessed because you're hearing it live, whereas if you're online, you have to go back and hear it after the show, and you're cut off at the level. So I applaud all the people who are on the phone now listening, because you're not cut off. You're listening to it, and it's fantastic, and I want to keep going with this idea because you got the chakras, and I want to make sure everybody understands. Now, base chakra, now one thing, Brother Imam, I missed the problem for the base chakra.
Yes, the base chakra is Adam.
Adam, I'm sorry. I'm not sure I got that.
Yes, sir.
Adam, got it. And also now, everybody, I sent chakra charts to everybody on my book list, and you can get on there by going to nrbookclub@cox.net. And if you don't have that, you can go online at blogtalkradio.com. I got two comments under the program of Spirituality Part 5. I list the chakras there also. And you can also Google, just put C-H-A-K-R-A, chakra, in a Google, it'll come up again. Because a lot of times we have different ways we listen. And sometimes some people are visual, some people are auditory, some people are kinesthetic. So no matter if you got to feel something, you got to see it or hear it, you can get it all. And I want you to get it all. So have a chart in front of you so you can look at the chart, hear the broadcast, and feel the message so you can get it at all three levels. So I want to put that out there. So, again, congratulations to all those listening. And Brother Imam, I don't want to stop you. I want to keep going here. Now, you got the crown chakra up there right now. Now, how is it that when we're bringing prayer and a prayer energizes all the chakras, how is it that a lot of our lives are not changed?
Because most of us are performing rituals without understanding. And that is something that W.D. Muhammad spoke and called superstition. He said, whenever you're practicing rituals, physical rituals, without an understanding of what those rituals represent, it's tantamount to superstition, even if it's salat.
Okay.
So
they don't know.
All it takes really is for us to connect the understanding, and you will notice an immediate difference even in your salat. You won't be as rushed to perform it, and you won't see it as such a drudgery well, Allah says I have to do it, so I'm going to do it.
Right, right.
And you know, you'll see it as an opportunity, and we'll literally feel the difference from the moment you wash up to the moment that you make your salam, understanding what the significance of it is. I'm going to say ahead of time that my phone has a tendency after about an hour or so to disconnect for some reason. And if that happens, I'll just call you right back. So just be
okay.
On standby for about 30 seconds.
Okay, all right, okay.
So may I say something now about the connection with the chakras and the salat?
Please.
And this is as a continuation of previous conversation regarding this language connection. In the concept of the chakras, we have what is called in the Indian language, the Sanskrit language in particular, Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
Kundalini, Kundalini. And Kundalini is loosely translated as a sort of burning or fire. It's related to fire. And it's a reference to the fire that is felt when one involves him or herself in deep meditation.
Okay.
Through rituals and exercises that are designed to bring up what they call the Kundalini fire from the base chakra up to the pineal.
Yes.
We won't go into all of that because there's too much in that that will cause most of us to go crazy trying to figure it out. See, I'm not interested in all that. I'm interested in the essential ideas that will allow us to safely perform our rituals while understanding the overall view of what is going on and what it has been related to historically speaking, understanding that Salat was in vogue before the revelation of the Quran. That's why the Quran didn't have to give all of the details pertaining to it.
Oh.
Yeah, there were people practicing. So the Jews had 3 rak'ah, at least. They didn't have the 5 that we have, but they had 3 in all of the positions, including sajda. Today, most Jews have an abbreviated version of their own prayer system.
Oh, okay.
But remember, I was born into that religion as a baby.
All right.
So I know what is done by some behind closed doors, and you can go online and find out what I'm telling you in terms of the Jews actually having basically the same system of salat that we have. They've only had an abbreviated number of rak'at, of prayers per day. That's what I meant to say. We have 5, they have 3. But they essentially had the same system of qiyam, ruku, etc., up down to sajda. Now, the sajda itself is designed to coat the front of the brain with new blood so that the pineal could be given the proper attention energy-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah. Most of us do not stand on our heads. So Allah designed a system to still give the proper attention to the pineal, which would not normally get saturated with blood in its calcified state. In our ritual, we're actually doing ourselves a favor, bodily speaking, to have all of these positions inculcated into our prayer system. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing that works for us on multiple levels, including the physical level. Now, the word salat is what I want to address.
Yes.
Which has the essential, first of all, let's say that we normally spell it S-A-L-A-T, right? Salat.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
yes.
It is really salat. And we put the T, it's a feminine T called Tas Marbuta in Arabic, which is designed to connect it to a word coming after. So if there's no word coming after, like Salatul Aisha or Salatul Fajr, then the T sound is taken off. And we leave it with the light H, Salah.
Salah.
Right. But to say Salat is not a problem. The Western world of scholars looked at the word salat and they came up with the word salt for salt because they saw in salt the same properties that are described in the Quran concerning salat. Salat really is that which allows us to preserve the best of our spiritual nature. All of the things that are going on with us as a human, as a true human creature, meaning as an internal, invisible life form, emotionally speaking, intellectually speaking, spiritually speaking, and even to a degree physically speaking. The Sadat is designed to preserve all of those life forms, all of those levels of human life and activity. It's a preservative is what I'm saying. So they understood that, and they gave the word that product salt, that name based on Sadat. You can find this information online. Now, the word salad, S-A-L-A-D, is from the word salad. Because
oh,
D
really?
Interchanges, yeah, D interchanges with T. What is a salad? A salad is that which preserves the beauty from the garden. Allah says he created us and he put us in the garden and he charged us with dressing the garden, right?
Right.
Well, all right, so dressing the garden is related to the human being's ability to keep the best of all of the aesthetics, the best of all of the healthy things, the best of all of the things that the garden, beneath which rivers flow, by the way, provide for the human life, in this life, beginning in this life, and then stretching out into the next existence. So it represents the preservation of all of the healthy, vital concerns that Allah has created for us, which are underwritten by the emotional, the proper functioning of our emotional and moral life. That's the rivers running beneath.
Okay,
it's
I got you.
Supported
yes.
By the proper emotional, moral, and spiritual undergirding. The rational part, the social part is what I'm talking about. We're not just rational people making rational or logical decisions and structuring society along rational lines that have no real emotional, moral, or spiritual underpinning. Our underpinning is the Quran, and Allah says what? He rained it down. Didn't he say that in the Quran?
Yes.
So the Quran is given a picture of as though it's rain, as though it's water. And that's your support. That is what is supposed to formulate those rivers running beneath the garden. And the garden is all of those wonderful things that come up from out of the human intellect. Yeah, all of this is spirituality, by the way.
Yes,
now,
if I may,
I just want to make the connection with the word salat and this kundalini idea of the fire. Most people think salat means ritual prayer. It does not. You can look this up in the Arabic dictionary and get an idea of where it is we're going. When you look up the word salah, which is sod, lam, those essential consonants, sod and lam.
Lam.
Right? It's going to say it means to roast a thing, to burn a thing.
Oh.
To feel pain or burning sensation in the small of the back. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
That means
yes,
that bottom chakra.
Right,
where the tail, where the spine tail begins. And then there are energy centers going up the spine that represent those seven energy wheels that we're calling chakras. So if Iblis promised that at the end most of us would be incognizant of what a chakra is, he's fulfilled his plan.
Yeah.
Now if we don't know what kind of attention to pay to the chakra development, then that means that the chakra development will remain undeveloped. An undeveloped chakra is the same as being ungrateful.
Right.
We say gratitude for shukran. Now, if there's no shukran, then there's no gratitude, right?
Right.
If
no
there's no understanding of chakra, then it represents ingratitude to God, because God gave us this possibility, and most of us, as he says in the Quran, go on heedless. He says that he created signs in the heavens and the earth, created seven heavens, right? And seven in you. He tells you that, and seven in you. But most people go on heedless.
Seven in you. Okay.
Yeah. Now, let me connect this Sod Lamb connection, and then I'm through with this part of it.
Yes.
Now, the letter S, that S sound, which is given in two letters in Arabic, seen, we discussed, and sawed. Those are the two S letters, the heavy R, the hard R, the soft R, what you know, they call them that respectively.
Yes.
Now, S in many languages, including the English language, can be interchanged with the letter K, the K sound. Now, why? The reason for that is that, for instance, in the English letter system, you have K, S, and C, the letter, right? But C is pronounced as either a K or an S. There's no individual sound for C. We know that.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
So that's what makes all sounds interchangeable, number one. Let's just start there. Now, so if I could say sing, or not sing, pardon me, but song or S-L, I can also say K-L. You got that?
Okay.
All right. I'm trying to go slow enough for you to follow me.
I'm got you, okay.
Yes. So K-L is Kal. Kal. All right. Now, I just gave you enough information, if you're an Arabic student, to look through your dictionary and come up with gems of wisdom related to what Allah is saying in the Quran by using these continental connections. Now, we have a state called California, right?
Yes, yeah. I remember talking about that before,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. C-A-L, right. Now, Cal and Cali also means burning. California literally means burning oven.
Mm-hmm.
A burning oven. Yeah. So KL also has the connection to burning or roasting, which is further proof that it is related to sawed lamb in Arabic, which also means burning or roasting.
Okay.
So salat doesn't mean ritual prayer. It means a ritual that we observe that is designed to ignite in us the purification process. That's all fire means. It doesn't mean physical fire. It means the purification process that is to begin at the base level, right? The base level, and rise up as Allah asks us to do in prayer. He said, "Iqama to salat," right?
Iqama, yes.
Stand,
yes,
stand for the salat. It doesn't just mean stand up physically for the ritual. It also means do that which will help bring that energy, that chakra energy, from its floor level or its foundational level up the spine, chakra by chakra, until it reaches its summit. You understand? It's a lot to understand. It's a lot to understand, but you just have to follow it and listen to it and pay attention and take notes and do research.
Now, hold on. You said that the slot really basically means to ignite in us. Can you finish that? If you can, ignite in us. If you can finish the rest of it, I'll appreciate that.
Yes, sir. To ignite in us means to pay the proper attention to the internal machinations of chakra development.
Okay, I got
now,
you. Okay.
Let me take it out of the Indian Sanskrit language and put it in homeboy language.
Okay.
And when I say homeboy, I mean homeboys who study. Homeboys who study have heard of melanin.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that's a black thing, right? It's what causes the skin to have coloration.
Mm-hmm.
Pigmentation, melanin. It is the primary property of darker skinned people all around the world. However, those of European descent also have melanin. It just manifests in a different way in terms of freckles and those kinds of things. However, all human beings have melanin in their eyes, and if you didn't have melanin in your eyes, you wouldn't be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
Those who have darker measures of melanin, or more intensified measures of melanin, as we do in the darker eyes, particularly the brown eyes, and the black pupil, of course, is melanin-centered. That is going to determine even your quality of sight. We have melanin in our ears, which will determine the quality of our hearing. The hair is, the color of the hair is melanin-coated, and as you know, the skin is melanin-coated, so much so that the sun, being in direct sunlight, will accentuate that melanin and cause it to become darker and darker. And if you don't get the heck on out of it, it will cause other severe problems that you might not want to deal with. Right.
Yes,
right.
Sir. Brother, you know, I got a little pause there on melanin. I made a special note. And even though I got some borrowed time I'm working with, but I do know that when people actually burn a program to their CDs, the CD only has a certain amount of time on the CDs. So
yeah.
I won't be able to get everything on one CD here. And plus I can't make separate tracks. Well, there's a way to do that, but I don't have the knowledge right now of how to make separate tracks. So therefore, I got to make sure to get everything on one CD and make it easy for people to hear this in their car.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
So with that, we
got to
stop. But tell you what I want to do. I want to start melanin and the spiritual significance of melanin or the knowledge of melanin in our systems next time. Can we start there?
We'll start wherever you want to start.
Melanin. Okay. We'll start with melanin. And now, all you've been following the program know that we're going to do a codependency, attachment, and addiction segment after spirituality. Everything's related.
Believe it or not, the key to understanding dependency and addiction is in melanin.
That's why it's so good. Oh, my God. I was about to say that. That after melanin, we're going to go right into that. So if we can, Brother Man, next week, which is the 30th, which is right before Ramadan, if we can start there, and then that will be a good segue into talking about codependency and attachments. Can we do that?
Put it on the calendar.
Okay, on the 30th. Everybody knows that on July 30th, Imam Bilal will be back for sure. So with that in mind, we got to end the program right now, but I really applaud those who've been hanging on the phone because now you hear the whole thing live like we're hearing it. And unfortunately, those who are listening online were cut off. But then they can come back and hit a program afterwards. So next time, do what you're doing now. Just in case we go over next time, do it on the phone. That's where you will hear everything live, and you won't be able to recall it because you got it right there, versus hearing it online and then having it come back later. So Allahu Akbar. So again, tune into www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. /reconnected. Remember that part, reconnected. And also, if you want to be on my weekly book club list, it's nrbookclub@cox.net. nrbookclub@cox.net. I can also send you some book excerpts. So with that in mind, we're going to end, and we'll end with like our little closing theme song. Now, it's not as clear on the phone. There's one thing about online when you're on the computer. It's very clear. So it's not as clear on the phone, but that's okay. When you come back and hear it again, and you actually download, you hear the music nice and clear there. So we're going to play that. And I want everybody to come in next week. Next week, please do it for part 3 of Imam Benjamin Bilal. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Imam. Thank you. Shukran.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, hostess.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam.